I'm sat on top of a mountain with Stephen Primrose Smith, and any second now there will be the cacophony, no, sorry, melodic, melancholic almost, classical stroke, medieval, dulcet, slightly annoying tones coming from a recorder, sticking out the mouth of a man who looks a little bit like a court jester, but I think he's dressed as a minstrel. And this may sound beautiful to you as background music. How many times have we heard this?
67.
So, before we get to the very end of our wits, I want to talk to you about some of the technology you're using on this epic trip over approximately 3 years, with a couple of breaks in between where you have to pop back and do some bits and bobs around the educational side of what you're doing. 50 European cities, 30, possibly at the end, who knows, 40,000 kilometres, you don't know exactly, 2 degrees, and possibly a couple of languages being studied at the same time in association with the Open University, as in you're using their materials, I believe?
That's right, yeah. All the course materials are stored on in various places, and it would be impossible to do it using books, so that's the only way to do it.
So you're using, technologically, a laptop, a Kindle, and a thumb drive and a mobile phone. Is that all of your technology? Do you have GPS or a bike computer?
I've got MP3 player as well for the languages, but no, I'd rather use maps, paper maps, for navigation, because if you were to have a GPS and it was to break or whatever, and you didn't have a map, then you find yourself stuck. And also, maps are more romantic. I feel more like a sort of 15th century traveller going through Europe on a horse.
And with this music, it even helps more.
Yeah, actually, the one piece of technology I really would quite like is a sniper rifle right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, what kind of laptop are you using?
It's an Acer Aspire 1, which was not very expensive at all and does everything I need it to do. And the battery lasts for... Well, it's difficult to know how long the battery lasts for, because every time you check it, it'll say you've got 10 hours left and 98%, and then you click it again and it says 91%, 6 hours left, and you think that doesn't really add up. But it lasts. It's never run out yet, so I get
in between charges.
Yeah, I need to charge it as often as I'm charging it. But the Kindle is the sort of workhorse. I only need to use a computer for writing assignments or emails and things like that, but the Kindle is where I do all my reading from, and that can stay charged for 3 or 4 weeks.
So obviously the materials are quite valuable to you. How are you backing everything up?
I've got a little USB drive, I think 4 gig or 8 gig, and that stores all my photographs and blog entries and assignments if I'm going to be writing it a few weeks before I send it, so I don't lose it, and photographs. And there's also all my course materials backed up on there as well, in case my Kindle was to explode. And also, I think there's also some audio language courses on there as well. So it's got everything on that I need. If my computer was to break or get stolen, I could replace everything.
What operating system are you running?
Windows 7. I think Starter Edition or something like that. It's not really very demanding of Windows, what I'm doing. It's all very, very basic stuff.
You used to be a software engineer, didn't you?
Yeah, for between about 98 and 2006, I was developing content management systems and very, very dull things like that, until I stopped doing that and decided to become a student instead.
And why not? A very important piece of technology, let's not forget, the bike itself. What are you riding? Why are you riding this particular bike? Has it been modified in any way?
Well, this bike, I bought this bike. We were in Graz right now, and I once lived in Graz between 1996 and 2000, and I bought this bike just before I left. And then I took it back to the UK, and it lived in my mum's garage for about 8 years or 9 years without ever being ridden. It's a KTM, which is an Austrian brand. They're known in England for motorbikes, and I think they don't export bikes, push bikes, to England. But it's a nice bike, and it's quite expensive at the time, but it doesn't look expensive, which is, I think, a positive. And it's fairly light, and it's very strong. And it's done now, I don't know how many thousand kilometres, because I cycled on it his first big test ride was cycling from the Isle of Man to the Costa del Sol in 2009. But this is it's a big proper test. But I'm not sure, maybe next year, but especially the third year, whether I should switch to my cheaper, more disposable mountain bike, because the roads in the third year are going to be dodgier.
Interesting. What kind of spares are you carrying, and what kind of spares have you needed? What have you had to do to the bike?
The spurs and count. I've got a couple of inner tubes and brake pads, and they're the only spurs I've got. I've got just your normal bike tools, repairing chain, spanners, screwdrivers, puncher kit. And I've had to do nothing to the bike so far, except when I was cycling out of Berlin, and the I'd noticed the tyre was down, but I left it for some reason. And then when I was at the edge of Berlin, I decided to fix it. But I put the wrong adapter on the inner tube nozzle and snapped it off. And I thought, this means I've got to push it all the way back into Berlin now, because the tyre had completely deflated. I had nowhere to pump it up. And then I just asked a man who was passing by if there was a bike shop nearby. I don't even know why I asked him. It seemed hopeless. And there was one just around the corner, no other shops. Yeah. And it was fixed in 15 minutes. So that's the only repair I've had to do, or that I didn't have to do. Somebody else did, actually.
Which is pretty amazing, considering where you've been so far. What's your exact route today?
Exact route today is, I started from the Isle of Man, I cycled to Douglas, the capital there, ferry to Heysham, then cycled down through England, passing through Milton Keynes with the OU, and picked up a few co-riders to cycle to London. And then I cycled to Portsmouth, ferry to the Channel Islands and to Jersey, and then the ferry to St Malo in France, then cycled to Paris, to Luxembourg, to Brussels, to Amsterdam, to Berlin, to Prague, to Bratislava, to Vienna, and now we're in Graz.
Mind-blowing. And you do have legs like tree trunks. Do you find cycling just normal now, or is there still a struggle?
No, it's... the thing was, from Brussels to... until really much... really the border of Germany and Czech Republic, it was more or less entirely flat. So I had something like 3 weeks of without a hill. So now that I've hit Austria, especially this bit of Austria, it's starting to get hilly, and I know that I've got another phase of fitness to go through. But cycling, I feel more comfortable now when I'm cycling than when I'm not cycling. There's aches and pains only occur when I get off the bike and take my rucksack off and walk around. But when I get back on the bike, they all disappear. So I'm sort of morphing into a bike bot type human. I think I might have to just spend the rest of my life on my bike.
I guess finding power for your technology, if we can return to that to finish. So for the laptop and for your Kindle, although it only really needs charging once a month-ish, that must be one of the burdens. Are you carrying any backup power, like in the form of batteries?
No, it's the reason that I need to check into hotels every now and again to recharge everything, which I would say is a burden, but I quite like hotels. When you've been sleeping in a field for a few days, a hotel feels really nice, even though they're always cheap hotels.
But I guess if you did have some kind of battery backup, you could go longer between hotels and therefore save some of the valuable funds, which are obviously diminishing.
That's true. And also there's going to be, whilst we're in Western Europe, there's no problem finding hotels to recharge things, but in cycling across Turkey, cycling through Russia especially, there may not be anywhere to charge my things up. So I bet there could be a better solution in the form of solar panels, but I'm not sure how effective they would be.
Interesting. You've got quite a large space. I don't know if that's your tent ground sheet that's on the back of you.
It's a tent, yeah.
Quite a large surface area with a kind of an elasticated net over the top. You could quite easily attach a solar panel to the back there. And yes, it does mean kind of leaving something valuable on your bike. You'd probably want to unclip it if you were to leave your bike locked up anywhere. But you're on the bike quite a few hours of daylight, aren't you? And it seems like, in my mind, wow, that's a lot of wasted potential energy. A day like today, it's now overcast. It did rain a little bit, but there are bouts of sunshine. I would seriously look into some trickle charging solar tech into some kind of battery backup, maybe from somebody like Power Travellers. They do some really interesting stuff. Maybe I'll send you some links when I'm back.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, it's. I think if you could stay moving and less in the lap of luxury, it'll harden you more as a human being.
Yeah, and you're just trying to make my job even harder, aren't you? Yeah. You're an evil man.
I'd love to see. I mean, I rarely, you know, I get to test some of this solar tech and some of this battery tech. There's only so far I can take it, I feel. But, you know, you're going to be out on the road, ultimately, 3 years. And it'd be great to hear how this kind of tech, and especially with Power Monkeys at the moment, we've got the Power Monkey Extreme out, and it's waterproof. Everything you have appears to need to be, in some way, waterproofed. It would be an interesting test.
Yeah, everything does need to be waterproof, and because I can't be as lucky as I've been with the weather, it's gonna start raining at some point. Then it would have to be waterproof.
Yeah, in Graz today, you said this is the heaviest rain I've come across since I've left.
Yeah, in Milton Keynes was the last rain. I had two mornings of light rain, and since then it's just been sunny or overcast. So. It's been, considering that I'm cycling in April and May, that's incredible.
Well, I'm hoping it continues to be this smooth, this enjoyable, and that once we leave this courtyard, there will be no more recorder playing for the rest of your trip.
That's my aim.
Thanks very much.
My aim as well. That's why I need the sniper rifle, for my aim.
Give us your URL.
URL is unicycle50.com, and there's links there to two different blogs and Twitter and all sorts of other things. So
that links to the Open University's blog as well?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Excellent. Unicycle50 on Twitter. Stephen, cheers.
Thank you very much.
Let's get him.